2018 BMAC meeting session to order. First order of business, we're going to seek approval of the February 14th meeting minutes. You all had a chance to review the minutes. I didn't see any corrections. No corrections. I have a motion to approve them.
Second.
All those in favor, show up and say aye.
Aye.
All those not in favor, seeing none, minutes are approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Item three is public comment. I don't think we have it on there. Item four is announcements.
We have no announcements.
Moving right along to item five for special presentations. Seeing none, let's move down to number six, it's unfinished business. Retail shopping center update 6.1. Who has the pleasure of that?
I'm going to go ahead and just update you guys on two things here. We have the Starbucks at Gateway, the Starbucks drive-through is open. That's over on Alcosta and San Ramon Valley Boulevard. So that's been open, I think, maybe a couple weeks now. And one more item, Plucked Chicken and Beer is slated to open in the spring, and that's actually by the owners of Sauced. So that's going to be opening. It's replacing Dickie's. So that was over in the Crow Canyon Commons.
It's called, what is it?
Plucked Chicken and Beer. Yes.
Wow. Is it Crow Canyon Common?
Yes.
What was the anticipated open date on that again?
Spring 2018. So right around the corner.
That was horrible how Dickie's got kicked out.
What happened?
The landlord, the Crow Canyon Commons, there was a lien on some of the equipment that Dickie's had, and they went in, the landlords went in with the bank, and because most of the stuff they didn't were caught up in the lease, whatever, they just shackled the door, and they couldn't get them, they wouldn't let them in to get anything out. So it just stayed there for a long time until everything was paid off because the landlord had a lien too.
Oh, wow.
But they're a great business. I'm surprised they went under if they didn't do as well.
Yeah.
That wasn't the only one that went out here.
Yeah.
There was only one. Okay. Something's going on here in North California.
Yeah. It must be, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, that's it. That's it for retail.
Any progress on the McHugh? Project?
Yeah, yes, in plan check is the Sherwin-Williams paint tenant and O'Reilly Car Parts.
Okay.
So.
And the restaurant next to ABC Vet?
Moving along. They got the color up on it's been painted on the outside. They're working on the TIs on the inside.
Okay.
What restaurant will that be?
Rumor it's Sakuru, Japanese restaurant.
Yay!
So.
That's been a real question.
That's going to be a brand new, that building should be demoed in the next few months, and it'll be a brand new retail, 10,000 square foot retail pad. With the rumor of Ulta. So.
Do they have the demo
Ulta.
Permit yet?
No, I don't think so. They're in for TIs right now.
Oh, okay.
No mattress place, no.
Okay. Item 6.2 is a 2017-18 work plan.
Just the attachment, just continuing to update what the committee's been doing, so just kind of our running tally. We'll need to start scheduling the annual report, trying to organize that here in the next couple months too, Jason.
Right.
Getting close to that, yeah.
Okay. Note of that. Item seven, subcommittee reports. I don't think we have anything right now. We're going to have a focus group later.
Okay.
Item eight is new business. Over here, what we're going to do today to give the focus group a little more time. We ran out of time last time, which was understandable. We had a lot of material to cover, but we're going to go out of order here for a moment and move to item 9 to give the members a chance to go through the reports. I would ask that for members, there's an item that concerns EDAC. I think comments are appropriate. Please feel free to do so. Otherwise, try to keep that to a minimum because we have some ground to cover on our focus groups. So, with that, let's move on to item 9.1, City Council.
Council meeting, interesting last night. Let's see, we had four items in new business. We had the police department report. Crime is up. Property crime is the major component of that that's up, and that's mainly things like theft from auto. You know, it's where they break your window and steal your laptop bag, things like that, and that's up quite a bit. And then there were some robberies that have occurred. People will be working in a Starbucks, and somebody comes by and takes their laptop. And so those doubled over the last year. The rest of PD, actually we have comparable populations with Walnut Creek and Pleasanton. They have, at least 5 to 8 more officers than we do, uniform sworn officers, but we have lower crime than both of them. So our PD is really doing a very good job. The other three things, there was 2 on landscape and lighting district related to the preserve project, which is up by Home Depot on the hill above Home Depot. And so they will be incorporated into landscape and lighting district activities. And the last one is the refuse vehicle license or refuse vehicle impact fee. I mentioned it at the last one. We did some more analysis on that, and the staff prepared a report and a proposal, and we voted to impose a fee on the waste hauler of about $1.5 million. The waste hauler is likely to pass that on to you, which you will see is about a $3. If you have a 35-gallon service, which is the largest population, you'll see about a $3 increase in your monthly charge for that. So that will generate $1.5 million for the pavement impact. A garbage truck, on average, causes about 9,000 times more damage than an SUV. So if you think about, they're going 6 times, because there's 3 going this way on a street and 3 going that way on a street. So a street impact is 9,000 times 6 is every week. And if you put that on your street, that would be an enormous, that would be 54,000 SUVs traveling your street every week, in addition to the regular traffic. And that's the equivalent impact on your street. So we'll be charging the waste hauler to mitigate that impact. And that's my report.
Autonomous vehicle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Last week. Yes, thank you. Yes, we did. We did pass the ordinance for autonomous vehicles. The city, there's a number of steps that had to take place. Caltrans, DMV, Highway Patrol, the county, the state legislature, and San Ramon all had to create ordinances, policies, procedures, rules, regulations. We passed our ordinance last night that allows for the testing of autonomous vehicles in the Bishop Ranch area at a speed not to exceed 25 miles an hour. It must be accompanied by a vehicle with a flashing yellow light. And it must have an operator on board during this testing on public streets. Phil alone brought it up that back in the late 1800s, there used to be a time when you had to have a man with a lantern or a horse with a lantern in front of your motorized vehicle on a road in some communities. Well, we're back to that, but it's an autonomous vehicle now. But we passed our ordinance, so they've got another. We also have to have a second reading of the ordinance, and then there has to be a 30-day period where the ordinance is actually in effect. So it's 45 days out before they will actually conduct that testing. Shortly after that, I was at the ribbon cutting thing that was held a week ago. Shortly after that, they will begin passenger service to a limited number of people that are employees in Bishop Ranch. They will all have to sign waivers that if you die in an accident, you don't sue. But fundamentally, that's what it'll be. But then that testing will go on for 90 or 120 days, something like that. So it'll be the fall before they actually have open doors service. Right now, everything's closed door. They don't open doors at either end except for the operator. So 90 days from now-ish, they'll have limited passenger service between BR6, BR8, and
2600.
And they'll do that for a while. And then late summer or fall, they will start. And Alex was talking, I was chatting with him. He's hoping to get, you know, 50 or 100 autonomous vehicles. He wants to have opportunity to pick up people at their home, bring them to Bishop Ranch, ride his buses, which are currently going empty to Santa Clara. They're going empty to the BART station, the A station. They're going empty into San Francisco, and they're picking up employees and bringing them back here. But what he doesn't want is to have people bringing their cars into his parking lots that are made for his employees. So by having, ultimately, by having autonomous vehicles to pick you up at your house or at a convenient location and bring you to his bus stop, and you can ride his bus to the BART station or to the city.
Sign me up.
Exactly. And that's the problem right now. Is having you drive and park in his parking lots is not his business model.
Who's this person again?
That's Alex Marin, who's the president and CEO of Sunset Development, the owners of Bishop Ranch.
And his bus is...
Well, you see the big buses that say BR on the side? They're run by County Connection. They go to the BART station and pick up Bishop Ranch employees and bring them here. But they go empty to the BART station in the mornings, and they go empty back from the BART station in the evening. So they're only carrying Bishop Ranch employees. He also has buses. He has two or three buses going to San Francisco.
San Francisco too, yep.
And he has one or two buses that go into the Santa Clara Valley area and bring people. But they're traveling one direction empty and the other direction with employees.
You can actually ride on them, but they're not announced to the public.
That's right.
They're a public service.
Yeah, but he doesn't want you parking in his parking lots because that's for his tenants.
Has there been any accidents? Those are...
No, the autonomous vehicles?
Yeah.
Well, these hold 12 people, 6 people seated and 6 people standing. And they're currently testing them at Bishop Ranch right now over here at BR 2600.
Any accidents so far?
Have there been no accidents? No.
I've ridden on them.
Okay.
Yeah?
How did you feel? Safe?
Yes.
Very safe, and they're super cute.
Yeah.
So what's the planned route? You said...
Right now, it's BR 2600, the old AT&T building, BR 6, which is directly across Executive Parkway, and BR 8, which is across and up on Executive Parkway. So it's limited to Executive Parkway right now.
But you said in fall it's going to be the full rollout.
Well, fall will be the passenger service to BR 6 and BR 8. He only has 2 buses right now. He only has 2 of these vehicles. So he really wants to do is... in the nearer term, is go from his transit center to all of his buildings so that when the buses come into town, the people get out of the bus, get onto the little vehicle, and it takes you to BR-15, BR-3, BR-1.
Right.
It takes you to your building. So the bus doesn't have to go door to door. The bus goes to the transit center. People ride from the transit center to their building on the little autonomous vehicles.
Like service like Gale Ranch to the city center or something like that?
We don't know.
That's another day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hopes to do that, and he used the same little autonomous vehicles to take people to the city center at lunchtimes,
mm-hmm.
So you don't have to get in your car,
right.
And drive over there, lose your parking, your really 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 good parking place, and you know how that is,
yeah.
And so you would take you just walk out of your BR 15, hop on the shuttle, it'll take you to lunch over at the city center, and then there'll be a shuttle that'll take you back. Your office.
Scott, I don't want to waste too much time, but we'll go read the ordinance, but does the ordinance that we passed yesterday restrict them to specific streets? Or
no, it restricts them to Bishop Ranch.
Right, so within forced holiday.
Within the perimeter of Bishop Ranch.
Yeah, I don't think, they may be able to go on Camino Ramon, but I'm not sure. I don't remember.
The ordinance didn't say anything.
Didn't say
it just said
streets.
Bishop Ranch. It limited them to 25 miles an hour, and Camino Ramon is 35.
Yeah.
But they won't be going over 25.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
All right, thank you, Scott. Let's move on to item 9.2, Planning Commission, Vicki or Gary or both.
Okay, so you all are familiar with the retail alternatives analysis, so we had another review from the consultant, so we're still kind of looking at alternatives to be able to formulate a recommendation for City Council. So just some of the things under consideration still. some easier things to do, which are qualify more as incentives versus land use changes. So doing maybe temporary use permits for kind of some pop-up activities so centers can have more active uses. So there are a couple places in the Bay Area where they do a really nice job of this, so that way they could have festivals and things like that. So changing the way we permit temporary uses, and also encouraging more shared parking. Also, you know, that outdoor seating, parklets, things like that fall into that category. The other changes are more significant that we're still looking at. And I would say the housing laws passed at the state level probably help with the direction on this, because we're talking about changing the actual designation of some of the shopping centers where in past maybe we would have said, hey, that's got a housing designation on it. But in the future, we believe that we'll really have to have a plan to build there, and if we don't have a plan to build there within the next couple of years, that we will have to move those housing units somewhere else in the city that have where they have a realistic chance of getting built. And so when we say change land use designations to retail for the best performing centers, what that really means is taking the housing off of those areas and moving them. And so obviously that means more work. But some of the discussions were that we could move some of those housing units into Pro Canyon Commons.
Bishop Ranch.
Bishop
City Center PDA.
Oh, the City Center PDA.
Yeah. So. And there's also in North Camino Ramon Conyer Crow Commons, too. Yeah.
Both of those.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, we're saying we want housing or we don't want housing in these two PDAs?
We do want housing.
We do want housing.
That's the council. It's one of the council's primary goals, is to put housing into the City Center PDA.
Okay.
Remove it from places where it has a larger impact on the adjacent neighborhood, and put it into the city center where the impacts on the neighborhoods are much reduced, and the people have access to not only jobs, but access
retail
to major transportation, whether it's getting on the freeway or it's getting on a bus.
Yeah. Or bike or walk or whatever.
Or the Iron Horse Trail. You know, it's interesting, the Iron Horse Trail, turns out that we got some information from East Bay Parks that during commute times, the Iron Horse Trail is a tremendous commute corridor in San Ramon. Not so much in Alamo, but in some other places along the trail, it's being used as a commute corridor for walkers and bikers.
They also allowed for 1 year a pilot to ride an electric scooter or a bike on it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a few months ago, was not allowed, so mm-hmm. somebody, you know, doesn't want to commute bike,
mm-hmm.
but on an electric bike they can.
Right.
And it's only one of two corridors, I think, in the Bay Area where they're allowed
yet.
That.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
So it is an actual serious commute road.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other considerations, I think, which you were already aware of, because we are redoing the Crow Canyon specific plan, is that kind of looking at the nature of retail, that perhaps we were overambitious in our plans for how much retail could really be supported in that area. So not only through this mechanism, but through redoing the specific plan, we think we will change what that looks like in the future. Anything you want to add, Gary? That's it.
I think one thought on this one is that we want to really develop the Camino Ramon corridor into a retail connectivity corridor, like we called it last time. It has to have some supporting housing. And that's the people who live on it to make it more available in the
city.
So
definitely.
That direction is pretty important for us to continue on, in my
opinion. Robert suffered through the entire night with us.
I enjoyed
did.
It.
Yeah,
so thank
that
you.
Was
so
very
thank you, Robert.
Yeah.
And you had some excellent feedback as well.
I actually enjoyed it. It was interesting. One thing that was interesting to me was the, I made a note here, it was the change land use designation support best performing centers. That was one of the alternatives that I thought really brought a lot of, I think that was maybe the crux of a lot of conversations, ideas were flowing of, I think, who made one of the consultants or one of the members made a comment about the where the theater is, that area, how consultants felt it was not performing as well, but it has a lot of potential because of its area and we could make it better. I thought that was interesting that there was a lot of, you know, how can we make, what
change how can we change land use of this certain part, of this certain area, this small area, to make it better performing? What can we bring? What can we change around? Not necessarily kick people out, but how can we make it better? And I thought that, that they had, the report is very thorough. You have to sit down and read it, but it was, there was a lot of information there, I think. But there was a lot of information between retail and restaurants and, you know, discussions of big box stores and what they mean for San Ramon, et cetera. And I thought they touched on a lot of key points from, I think one of the ideas I like was, you know, with the mayor's bike plan in place coming in. If you guys haven't seen the email, it's look at the map. It's a great feature. The idea of, wayfinding signs? Wayfinding signs. If you go to any like city or any area, business park in the city or any town, you'll find like, hey, you know, 300 yards to the left or a mile to the left, you'll see the city hall or a mile there of the park. If, you know, go to the city center here to the right, et cetera. I thought that was interesting too. It goes along with the plans of like the making the city more walkable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but thank you for your reminder on that, because that's probably something that is interesting for this group, because very split opinions on that. So if you have like a Santana Row or a Loma Creek, a consolidated downtown where that makes sense and you're directing people around, everyone really, that makes a lot of sense to them. But in San Ramon, I don't think we have consensus on that, because the people at the marketplace are the ones who really want the signage, because they don't, their insides are not as visible on the out, but other areas, people say, and the sign wouldn't really do that much for me, and they would cost a lot. So I think it's the benefit to us isn't as clear, because we don't have kind of all of our retail in the downtown corridor, basically. So how will you direct people to the different centers?
Yeah.
You know, I think some of the center owners and stakeholders are like, not so much for me.
One of the things that caught up with one of the consultants at the end was, you know, having the signs of just not where the retail is, but where the library is, where, you know, just city events, like city areas, et cetera, that might be a good idea. The other one that they talked was, I think it was not a historic district, but redeveloping a district, a certain part of a city, which,
business,
you remember?
Yeah, it was Business Improvement District.
Business Improvement District.
Where all the businesses in an area would pay in money,
yeah.
And then you'd have a, similar to a tourism improvement district, where the city would assess through maybe their business license a certain amount of money per year when they renew, and then that would be used to fund whether it's programs, whether it be events, things like that. And so Walnut Creek has two, you know, all surrounding their downtown, and that's very successful. But the comment was, you know, we have a shopping center here, a shopping center here, a shopping center here. Would a business improvement district still, you know, provide the same bang for the buck that when it's all consolidated? That's another question. The other one for this group that we've talked about the VDAC a lot is, how many tutoring centers is enough for non-retail shopping centers? It's a constant debate. You know, the city has ordinance, which is 25%. You know, that's the rule. And so there's a little bit of discussion, no conclusion yet. Is it better to reduce that to 15% to force, you know, shopping centers to find retail sales tax generating businesses and exclude tutoring centers and dentists and things like that, service things? Or is it okay to leave it at 25% because it generates, you know, traffic? You know, people come to the center, and while they're, you know, they're doing that, they're also going to the grocery store, the shopping center, things like that. And so one of the recommendations was reduce it to 15%, and they cited an example in Berkeley, which is very restrictive on, you know, the types of stores that can go where, and they have examples of stores sitting vacant for a long time because they can't get those kind of tenants. The other side of it is leave it at 25% of the shopping center wants to increase the number of non-sales tax or non-retailers. You have to show something called economic findings. You can prove that you can't bring in a tenant that's going to sit vacant for 3 years, or if we can't, you know, do allow this tenant to come in. So that's also going to show up in the final set of recommendations that will go to City Council eventually. But I know this group has talked about that for years. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do about all the non-retail sales tax generating entities?
I just want to add on to that business, the business funding for the district. One of the things I thought about after the meeting was if they were able to allocate the funds for that, not so to create create a district, a development area, but to maybe defray or offset the costs to build parklets. You mentioned parklets, you mentioned maybe help generate that, the beautification of the area, maybe.
Of centers, yeah.
Of the centers. I think that might be a possibility. There was a lot of ways, and one of the ideas that they're talking about is these aren't self-contained plans. You can mix and match them. They're seamless enough where you could use both of them, strategize with them. But I thought there's definitely a lot more to have discussions, but very exciting on what they were trying to do. I do think trying to fit a round peg in a square hole, trying to make the area seem like something that it's not, was not the plan, although at first I thought it was. But listening to their thoughts and listening to the plan committee's thoughts and everything, it was more about how can we make what we have better and strategize on increasing profitability at each center and how do we bring talent and everything. Not so much as just, because the center you mentioned, the historic center, gave me an impression of a very, like, demilitarized zone area with homeless people. And I was like, this sounds like something like South of Market in San Francisco in 1999, where you had to, like, just gut everything out, and that's not like this here. So I had that impression, but they assured me that's not what it is. It's actually to make, you know, have the people together, you know, be responsible for
improvements and management,
and everything,
right.
Because they share that same common ground. Right. So that's it. I thought it was great.
Good. Just one last point, because Garrett brought up the tutoring center. So our feedback from owners and leasing agents, I would say, was pretty loud and clear. Flexibility was what they wanted.
They want flexibility.
Okay. Well, market, dictating the market, too.
It might go without saying, that might be obvious, but just to throw the obvious out there, they gave the obvious feedback, which is we would prefer more flexibility.
They wanted car carrying variances so they could just go in and just get on.
Everything that generates a rental income is equal to that.
How much do we take from the retail businesses?
Actually, we need to kind of move along. The EDSP subcommittee will be discussing this in more detail in a few minutes, but we need to get through the liaison report. So if you could hold your questions for your subcommittee work, your focus group work, that would be great. So, sorry to cut you off, Dan.
I'm going to hold my question, too. Let's move on to 9.3, Parks and Community Services Commission.
Well, the big thing is, you know, we'll be hearing the San Ramon Bicycle Master Plan this evening, and basically I wanted to read through all the information, but it's like 50-some pages. They're trying to improve safety. They have access to businesses, destinations also, like schools, parks, businesses, and safe routes to school. So they're taking all aspects of how you can use bicycles for transportation. And they're also networking with other organizations like these big region parks and whatever. They'll be making bicycle signs on the street. You've seen some of those with their off, a lot of times green, and actually they'll have some signs where there will be bicycle lines. The Bicycle Master Plan is on the city webpage, so I would encourage you to read through it. It's very extensive, and it's like 50-some pages. Found it very interesting, but I haven't got through the whole thing yet to see. But I would encourage you to go on there and read it. And then we received the report this evening at the parks and give our input to it. Then it will go to planning on March 20th, mm-hmm. policy on the 28th, and then to the city council on April for that. They will incorporate it in the master plan in the fiscal year of 2018-19. And it's in the 2023-2024 5-year capital improvement. And they will have a kickoff on May 8th, hoping to promote the citywide bicycle, that you'll take your bicycles to work and use them more to as transportation. So it's very interesting. It's a new way to make sure that bicyclists have safety routes, because there has been quite a few accidents. I was amazed to know how many accidents that we have. The other thing is in arts, we will receive this evening, there is a gentleman, an artist, who is, I thought I wrote his name down, but he does sculptures, and we have a chance to have a very large eagle that's mounted, and we are getting it. It's Brian Keith, if anyone knows it. He has the swans out at the Black Hawk shopping area. Have you seen those? And so it's usually a very, very expensive piece of art, but he has provided $120,000 in private funding and is still pursuing some more funding for that. And what the art wants to do is we would need $40,000 for public, to go towards this public art piece, and that would come out of our beautification budget. And the Toll Brothers have agreed to do the installation, and it's where we're thinking of putting it is at the Rancho San Ramon Phase 2 part of the park, or the Rose Glen Park at the Gave Ranch Phase 3. That's not been decided. But these sculptures usually go around $400,000. So we feel this is a really neat, and he lives in the city of San Ramon. So this, he's doing this for another place, and so we're getting to use the same mold that he's using that, which helps the cost.
What's the media? Is it bronze, or is it,
yes, it is.
Tile or ceramic? Or
it's bronze.
Bronze, yeah.
Okay.
I have a picture of it. If you want to see it later, I can
sure.
show you a picture of it. It's really, I think it's a really neat piece of art for our city to have. And so last evening, we, three of us spent 3 hours on interviewing for the Arts Advisory Committee, the Senior Senior Advisory Committee, and the Library Advisory Committee. So that's the highlights. I will keep it to that. I will pass around these items that you can pass around and get one is because the San Ramon Historic Foundation has their annual sheep shearing day on April 21st. And it's fun because you'll see the sheep wearing haircuts. And that will be on, off and on all day. And there will be food, there will be glasshouse tours, music, crafts. We have lots of crafts for the children. They have games so that we can go to get them. The wool spinning will be there, and the sheepdog demonstration, and there will be tractor rides and more. So early birds, you can go right now online to sanramon.org, to not San Ramon, but to the San Ramon Historic Foundation.org. And adults is only $5 and children is $3. And then after April 14th, it goes up. Children under 3 are free. But in the past, we ask you to leave your dogs at home. So that really is a conflict with the sheep shearing. And so it's a really fun event, and we usually have about 1,000 or so people. So we're hoping we have more vendors and more crafts and things for the children. So we're hoping we can even draw more people. It's something for everybody. So,
do you need volunteers? You got it.
If you want to volunteer, you can certainly see me afterwards. Yes.
Thank you.
Do you have an electronic copy?
Pardon me?
Do you have an electronic copy?
Yes, I do.
Can you send me one so that I can pass it around?
All right.
Okay.
So that would be my major emphasis for the parks.
All right, thank you, Carol. Let's move on 9.4, Chamber of Commerce.
Okay, switching hats. We're going to be forming a subcommittee of the subcommittee to address a city center grand opening collaboration between the city, Sunset, the Chamber, and Discover San Ramon. I am supposed to be on the agenda at either this meeting or the next meeting to talk with Discover San Ramon about that. And we are going to request that they have a liaison on the Chamber, who that will be, but that's our plan. The only other thing I have is that there is a business expo tomorrow from 5 to 7:30 at Bridges. All are welcome. We have it'll be a packed house, and there will be food and beverages, adult and otherwise, available. It's a lot of fun, drawings, and everyone is encouraged. to attend.
9.5 to you, Council.
So to start with, we had our Yakutek this past weekend, and it went really well. We met with a bunch of other teen councils in the area. We met with, like, Danville, Dublin, like, Fremont, et cetera. It was really fun, and we got to meet a lot of new people, and we made a lot of friends as well. And so moving on, we actually took into account the stress event that we were trying to plan, but instead of doing a stress event, we decided to go with, like, different workshops and, like, basic workshops in which we would not only educate students and teens in the city, but we would also be educating, like, parents. Like, as we talked about in our last meeting about how we want to educate parents about, like, community colleges and how there's, like, different options for students to take. We were talking about that in Teen Council in our last monthly meeting, and we decided to that instead of having a stress event, it would be more beneficial to have workshops instead, since it's not just going to be, like, a one-time event, but it's just going to be, like, throughout the year, which would be more beneficial. So after that, in my subcommittee, I'm the public relations subcommittee for Teen Council. And so basically, this is our first year that we're going to be, Teen Council, it's our first year that we're going to be in the Arts and Wind Festival. So basically, what we want to do is that we want to, like, work with a local, like, restaurant or business where we can, like, promote their business, but at the same time, like, we're giving, like, a small discount to teens. So, like, in the past, T4 has done this with, like, Dory Valley or or Quarry Lane. And so basically they give, like, a 10% off for students if they show, like, a flyer. So basically we want to help promote small businesses in Santa Ramon. And we want to, like, I'm not really sure what businesses to work with. I know that there's, like, Clementines, and I'm not really sure about a bunch of, like, small businesses in the area, but we're going to look into that so we can promote them and so we can promote them by, like, the end of the year.
Those Coyotes is probably a good one.
Okay. We're definitely trying to look into more. We're definitely going to bring it up in our next week's meeting. So do you guys have, like, any, like, recommendations for different, like, small restaurants to work with?
Duenas Kennedy's, Rolls.
Gianni's.
Yeah.
Gianni's,
yeah. Fat Maddie's, maybe?
Yeah,
Fat
Maddie's.
Or one of the Thai restaurants. Pizza My Heart. Mm-hmm. They're a new one.
Pie sandwiches.
Thanks.
Ken's Lake's Brewery.
I'm afraid it's going to fall because it's hidden. Hidden up there. I can't see it.
People.
Yeah. Right now, we're going to break into our subcommittee.
So, Jason, you can take the EOCs open, small EOCs available. So, if you guys want to go in there.
Sure.
And then that room actually won't be available for the next few months due to some training we're doing. So, we'll be in here, but in separate groups. But for today, that room is available.
Okay. And then is the idea that we're going to, after we meet and discuss different topics, idea, we're going to meet back again as a full.
Just to report out, for the minutes. Yeah, so someone can kind of summarize what you guys talked about and what your next steps are, that would be really great. And so we come back in about an hour. And so we tend to be done by 6, so that's kind of the goal of the 4 to 6 meeting, because I see folks starting to kind of slither away around 5:30, 5:45. So we'll try and keep it to that.
I think everyone else is free to, if they want to just come in and sit with us.
Yeah.
Or not, however you want.
What are the two groups you have?
We took the two subcommittees. That was the strategic plan update subcommittee, which was Jason's group. So there, we put them into a focus group to focus on that, to work on that. And then the marketing and outreach subcommittee, which is working on the passport program right now, trying to get that up and going. So those are our efforts. So do you guys all remember what groups you signed up for?
I think it's in the minutes, too.
Oh, it's in the minutes.
It is.
Jen, you rock. You're a rock star.
It's the only way I would remember.
So marketing's in here.
Yes, marketing will stay here.
But I know they're
happy. Yep. So, Dan, you're here.
Or were, Dan, were you in strategic planning?
No, no, you're marketing.
Is he?
No.
I think he's strategic planning.
No, he's marketing. I have you in marketing.
I feel like maybe that might be a mistake. I'll have to check on that.
Oh, Dan, you aren't. Are you going to?
I think you told me you were in.
You can go to that one if you want. That's fine.
Yeah. I think I put him in the wrong one.
I'm not going to force you to be here.
Okay. So,
actually, Gina is. I'm kind of going to bounce back and forth a little bit. So.
Appreciate
if we want,
yeah,
we can come to
the event tomorrow.
Excellent.
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 It's actually where I got my
bridges. Look at you. 5 second or 2 minute update of what you guys talked about. And then Gina, can you do a quick update too?
I'll go first. No, you want to go first?
Okay.
Well,
and Tori.
Sure. So, some of the people have to leave. Some of the members have to go. But, are we back on?
Yes.
All right. So, for our subcommittee, we talked about a couple items. The more immediate one is the meeting with Chappelle. If they are still on schedule for next month, April.
April 18th. Yep.
Our thought was to. Ask them what their ideas and plans are for their center out there on the retail side and restaurants, that kind of mix. I have some idea of what they're doing, but I'm not sure what the other ideas are. And I think it's an opportunity for us as a subcommittee and a full committee to educate them or give them ideas of what the demographics are out there, why that area is underserved, what are some thoughts and ideas on potential models that might work. A couple that come to mind would be the Olford Center and the Pacific Pearl Center right across from the outlets in Livermore. So that was the more immediate thing. So that's for next month. The other thing we talked about is the ongoing strategies and ideas for changing shopping centers and how they can improve. One idea that we would like to have as a subcommittee or the full committee is to bring in a landlord to actually ask them. The one that comes to mind, if we can get Federated in here, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. I've tried, but I'll keep trying.
Keep trying, because I think in talking to them, we'll learn a lot of, we'll have answers to a lot of our questions, because about 2 years ago, they weren't that much different than the other centers.
Right.
They've made a remarkable improvement. It's an ongoing improvement that I think has a lot of people have noticed, and I think it's something that has worked. And it's something that can feed into what we're trying to do is when we look at other centers, how can we improve or make suggestions for them to improve their tenant mix? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the two main topics that we talked about.
Good. Tori?
Okay. Sure. We just basically talked about the Passport program and logistics of that, because this is the first one ever, and split up volunteer duties over here to get it all going by November 17th, in time for holidays.
Excellent goal.
And we'll incorporate small business Saturday over that Passport program.
Yes.
Right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We thought that was a better release date. Yeah. So.
Be a lot of shop local conversations going on.
So the program is from December?
November, looking at mid-November to mid-December.
And then you can get your gift cards you win just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
Re-gift them or use them.
Re-gift them.
Those things.
It'll be a drawing.
No, you're going to have a passport book?
Mm-hmm.
Are you
going
to go to businesses and put them on the counters? Or?
That we haven't talked about exactly yet. More just trying to kind of get the first steps done, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, That's one option. Also, they'll be able to link to it and just download it and print it themselves for right now. So eventually we'd like to have an app, but we don't have that much time. So we're going to go a little old school for the first one.
Are those free coupon books you give out? Or
yes.
I like the idea of having them wherever they need to turn them in at the end, have them available there.
Yeah, we can do that.
To come pick it up.
Or at participating
or
stores.
Depending on how expensive they are.
Or the chamber.
We can do like a 50 per store or something like that.
There's lots of ideas shooting around here.
Really good.
And have you worked out, I think we touched upon this last thing, but I don't remember the number of businesses. have an idea of
one we're going to start with? 20 yeah. And then get 15 to 18 stands for the 20 is what our oh, first okay. goal was. Mm-hmm. The first one was.
So if there's stuff you really don't want to go to, you don't have to.
You should still visit anyway.
You visit, you do need to put
you could have an extra, you get like an extra drawing if you get all 20. You get your name in twice if you do all 20 or something. Like
these are spread out over different centers?
Yes. And there would be a variety of newer businesses, older businesses, variety of types of businesses, so we won't have 14 pizza joints.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Right.
And selection process.
And the change of subcommittee will select the participating retailers.
So there's a group. So no yep. one person is responsible.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we brainstormed it out. So.
Yes. Empower many.
It's me. It's my fault.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, guys?
I think that's it.
All right. 6 o'clock.
Wow.